Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss on today's broadcast, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. The question today is this: is there only one way, or are there many ways to God? Now, recently, a mega church pastor in New York just added some fuel to that raging debate, that fiery debate, and he basically said to his congregation that the belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven is insanity. And he went on to explain a little bit of what he meant and how he was welcoming to all people, and that there are many paths to God. Well, that just sparked this, you know, this outrage on all the social media platforms, many people commenting and weighing in on the situation. And today we want to talk about that. We want to talk about the exclusive nature of the claims of Christ, because if you read what he had to say, you have to realize they're exclusive. When he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me," he is excluding every other alternative.
Right.
He is saying there is only one way, there is only one truth, there is only one life, and that Jesus Christ fits the bill on all three counts.
Yeah.
So why does he say that? Why is he so exclusive in his claims? And I think we have to dig underneath those to find out, because he's addressing the problem that all of mankind has, and that problem is spiritual death. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told them that the day you do that, you will die. So death entered into the human experience. They died spiritually, and they passed on that spiritual death to every person that's ever been born. So you and I came into this world spiritually dead. Now, we look at a little baby, and we think of them as innocent until they get to be about 2 years old. And then you see just aspects of this spiritual death pouring out of them. They learn to lie before they can speak. They fight with other kids over toys. Mm-hmm. It's just part of this condition that we inherited from Adam and Eve. Now, Jesus Christ is the only solution to that condition. He said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Well, why did he say that? Because he's the only one that has life to give. You can't find life in any other venue, any other avenue. There's no religious philosophy that offers life eternal. There's no law or rule or regulation that can impart life to the spiritually dead. There's only one place to find it, and that's Jesus Christ. So that's why his claims are exclusive, because he's actually addressing the real problem of man. Everything else addresses the felt needs, the external needs, and those sort of things. And so we can get all cleaned up on the outside, but we're still empty on the inside. And so Jesus is addressing that emptiness. He truly came that we might have life. That's why throughout his teachings, he talks about the fact that he is life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the bread of life. Everyone who believes on him receives eternal life. Why do we need life? Because we were dead spiritually. So we have to quit talking about ways to heaven, and there's many ways to God, and really address the problem of man. And the Bible is very clear in spelling that out. Paul was brilliant in Ephesians 2, verse 1. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You followed the ways of this world. You lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what spiritual death looks like. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus came, and by his grace, he makes us alive. So we cross over from death to life through faith in Jesus. That's the real problem. Now, you can say, well, what about this great philosophy over here? Let me ask you a question. Does that philosophy offer the solution to your spiritual problem? Can believing that philosophy and living out that philosophy bring life to your dead spirit? No, it can't. Well, how about those system of rules and regulations that you've adopted? Can those laws, can those rules, can those regulations impart life to your dead spirit? The answer is no. Can you find a place? Does Confucius offer life? Does Hinduism offer life? Does Buddha offer life? Does science offer life? Absolutely not. Only Jesus offers life. Why? Because we need life. So we have to quit fussing about, you know, whether these are exclusive, and recognize that Jesus loves us so much that he gave himself for us so that we could have life in his name. And the article, Richard, that was posted in the Christian Post about this was really interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I'm trying to see his point of view, because I read through it. And the nearest I could come up with is that Paul tells us very clearly in Romans 1 that God made himself known to other people besides Jews. Just take his word for it. God knows how to reach people. But what he's reaching them with is not, okay, just do what you want. I've talked to you now. I like you. He's reaching them in his own way, in the way they need to hear it, with the message of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because if you've read anything about missions and missions history, it is rife with stories of missionaries who have gone to some so-called area that has never heard the gospel, and they walk in and they start talking to people and they say, oh yeah, we've had that story with us for hundreds and thousands of years, and we never had a name for this person. Well, they say, this is Jesus. Okay, that's Jesus, and now we're moving forward. God set this up. We don't set it up. He set it up for Jesus to be our Savior, to take care of sin once and for all, to take care of death once and for all. Just take him at his word and let him be who he is.
Absolutely. And God is big enough to get the message of Jesus to anyone, anywhere, mm-hmm. at any time.
Yep.
We think that's on our shoulders. No, God's big enough for that. If he's big enough to send Jesus, and Jesus' sacrifice was big enough to take away the sins of the world, I think God can get the message,
absolutely.
Concerning Jesus to anyone. Why? Because it's only through Jesus that we can make our way to God. It's only through Jesus that we can have a relationship with God, and it's only through Jesus that we can have life everlasting, because Jesus Christ has given us himself. And he is alive. He has an indestructible life. And when we receive him, we receive his very life. That's what the gospel is all about.
Absolutely. We proclaim Jesus every day here at Basic Gospel. But you know, friends, the truth of the matter is that we need your support to be able to continue to do that. And to say thank you for doing that during the month of March at Basic Gospel, in this particular month, we'll send you our CD series called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. And as you listen to this message by Bob Christopher, you'll discover that this truth will bring peace to your heart and equip you to live a victorious life in the here and now. Please help if you can with a gift today, and we'll send you a copy of The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or give by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742 or at basicgospel.net. Just click that big donate link there on that homepage, and that'll get the job done. Well, friends, we have a question coming up. This is from Danny, and it concerns the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as some say. The question that I have, Danny says, is about the Holy Ghost. You guys said that once you received Christ in your life, you were filled with the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God. The reason I ask is because Paul asked this question to believers in his time. Since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? So, in other words, they were believers but had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that right? Please speak to this for me, and thanks, and I love your broadcast. That's from Danny, who listens on KFIA in the Northern California area.
Well, Danny, thank you so much for writing to us. And you make mention of a particular story that happened in the book of Acts. It's recorded for us in Acts 19. And Paul is in Ephesus, and he comes across a group of disciples, and that's how Luke describes them. And so Paul asks this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So they didn't know the Holy Spirit existed. Mm-hmm. They had just heard some information. Now we're going to find out exactly what that information was. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. So he's referring to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had that ministry. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was pointing the way to Christ. Mm-hmm. He was baptizing people in the River Jordan for the forgiveness of sins, repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. And he says, that's the baptism we were placed into. So Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. So he was preparing the hearts of people for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying, and there were about 12 men in all. So what they had heard from John the Baptist, or about the repentance of John the Baptist that he was speaking of, had prepared them for this very moment to receive Christ.
Yes.
So Paul just came along and completed the story for them. Filled out the gospel message that Christ had come, just as John the Baptist said, that he had died on the cross to take away their sins. He had been buried and had been raised so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. And when they heard that story, their hearts responded and they received Christ and were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the speaking in tongues and prophesying was evidence of that for them. So they had been prepared for this moment. Paul simply filled out the story, and they received the fullness of the story. They received Christ himself, the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you, Danny, for your question. We appreciate hearing from our listeners who use the email at bob@basicgospel.net, who call at 844-322-2742 anytime, 24 hours a day. That number is available. You can record your question. We'll be glad to address it on Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to call right now. If you're hearing the live broadcast, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Dennis, who writes to us from Jacksonville, Florida. He says, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad." He says, that one sentence seems to be the antithesis of the whole point of the Good News New Testament gospel message of forgiveness and salvation through one's faith. For example, he cites John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," and 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ," and several others that he cites in this particular question. So his question is how is this particular passage, 2 Corinthians 5:10, how does that fit within the context of the New Testament and our total forgiveness?
Well, as far as judgment for the believers, what we've done good is we've believed in Jesus.
Yeah.
We've trusted in the finished work of Christ. So what are we going to receive? Life everlasting. We've already received it. But that's going to be an eternal reality.
Yes.
And so it's just being confirmed, so to speak, at that particular point. So as far as believers are concerned, we're just going to be, it's just going to be recognized that we have trusted Christ and eternal life is ours. And that's our eternal judgment. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That is really good. And the other thing that Paul is probably referring to here is what's been done in the body, what we've accomplished. He talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He talked about folks who had poured the foundation of Christ, and then folks building upon that foundation. And what kind of materials are we going to use in doing that? Are we going to use wood, hay, or stubble, which is only going to burn up? Or are we going to use gold, silver, and precious stones, which will stand forever?
Yeah.
Now, using those materials of gold and silver and precious stones, that's using the work of God's Spirit inside of you. And as you allow Him to live His life through you, then you're building properly on the foundation of Christ, and that too will be made known at that time. Oh. So as believers are concerned, our judgment is eternal life. That's good news. That is good news. And then the works that have been accomplished through faith in Jesus, we're going to see them for what they are, that they have value to the kingdom of God. So that's what that judgment seat is all about.
Dennis, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you as well. We have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And we'd like to remind you also, we have that wonderful series through the book of Hebrews that continues tomorrow on Basic Gospel. And I hope you're with us for that.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Denver, Colorado and talk to Sean. Hi, Sean. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for what you guys are doing. You're helping a lot of people out there to know the truth.
Well, thank you. Thanks. We appreciate those kind, encouraging words.
Well, if we have to, we got to spread His truth, not ours.
Yeah, that's
exactly
right.
I'm just commenting what you were saying about that pastor, and he's not the only one, but that's saying there's many ways. And when I hear people say stuff like that, or I talk to someone and say, hey, there's no God or someone, what I do is I tell them what I believe, why I believe it, what it means to me, but also I try to challenge them and say, are you sure what you believe is true? And I'll ask them, if you really want to know, seek the truth out. Because if a person really wants to know something, they'll seek it out.
Yeah.
And I've talked to a guy, I remember I was talking to a guy not too long ago, and we were talking about that because there was something about a shooting song. We brought up values, and then I said, yeah, well, we got to put our trust in God. And anyway, he deviated from that, but he basically said, well, I looked into it, and I didn't find anything. And what I found out when people say that they've looked into it, either one of the two things have happened. Either they have looked into the information to see who's right, whether it's Buddha or whatever. They found it and either ignored it, or they just didn't bother to look at it. Because if a person really wants to know truth, they'll seek it out.
Yeah, I think you're...
I always try to lead them to the Word, you know.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right,
yes.
Sean. And when people who are seeking truth and they recognize just through nature that God exists and, you know, the signs of the reality of Him are everywhere. And then somebody comes and tells them the story of Jesus, or somehow they hear the story of Jesus, it resonates deeply. And they just relax and rejoice because they found the truth in Jesus. And it just makes sense. But I think those who... you know, try to argue, like you said, they're not really seeking the truth. I can't tell you the number of people that I've asked the question. You know, they've raised skeptical questions and all this sort of stuff, and I ask them, well, have you ever really read the Bible? Well, no, I haven't.
Exactly.
Well, then get in the Bible and read it, and then come back and let's talk.
Yeah.
I'll tell people too. I'm sorry, I just want to say. I always tell people, I say, well, read, what did Jesus say? Believe in me, trust in me, have faith, and he said, read my word.
Yes, yes.
He didn't say do things, he didn't say do this, but he said, read my word. Because he did prove who he is. Buddha, Wicca, those, they're still in the grave. He is alive.
Yes, he is. And that's what distinguishes him and Christianity from every other religious thought or system. You know, we cannot put Christianity in a line of religions and say it's just one of many. No, it is the one, because it rests on the shoulders of the person and work of Jesus Christ, and there is no one like him.
He proved who he was and still is.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, Sean, thanks for your great comments.
Thank you, guys. Keep telling that truth out there, my friend.
Thanks, Sean. Great to hear from you. A question, guys, from William. He says, I have a chronological question for you. When God created man, was the enemy referring to Satan, of course, already here on earth, or did he come later? If he was here before Adam, why would God create mankind with the enemy present?
Well, we're going to have to take that up with God.
Yeah.
God wanted to make us in his image. I mean, that was his desire.
Yeah.
That was what he wanted to do. He created everything else, and everything that he created was for us. So like angels, the angelic world, God created them as messengers to serve us, those who would inherit salvation. So they were created for us. As a matter of fact, they look at us and long to know what we know about God, because they will never, ever know what the grace of God is like. Only we humans know what the grace of God is like. So God chose to do that out of his love. That compelled him to create. And what he created, he said, was good. That's you and me. And he knew that Satan was going to fall, and that a third of the angels were going to fall with him. And he also knew that because of that his people, the ones he created in his image, Adam and Eve, they needed to be protected. And so he put a measure of protection on them in the garden. Stay away from this tree. You go near that, that's danger for you. So here's this whole vast array of trees, including the tree of life. Eat, partake, enjoy. That's all of yours. And in so doing, walk with me. Let's enjoy relationship together. But here is this enemy over here, and I'm going to protect you from it. And it just so happened that the enemy lured Eve and then Adam and made that tree look desirable. It had never looked desirable to them before, yeah. Only when Satan made it look desirable. But that wasn't the end of the story. That wasn't the end of the creation of mankind and God's purposes for man. God already had a plan, and that plan was Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. So he was foreknown before creation even occurred. So we have to recognize that God chose to do creation. He wanted a creature like you and me to bear his image and to share in his glory. That's why he created us. And whatever enemy, Satan and whatever enemy may step up to the plate, his plan will not be thwarted. God's plan will not be thwarted. Right. And that plan is carried out in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so we're restored. We're made alive. We can now reflect his glory. And when Jesus is revealed, we're going to be revealed with him in all of that glory. So, you know, we can ask some of those whys, and really the answer is we're going to have to take that up with God to find out the details. But we do know that God had it all covered in Jesus, and we can rest confidently in that. So
absolutely.
Great questions today. Really,
yes.
Really good questions, significant questions, talking about the true nature of the gospel, why Jesus did what he did, why he is the only way, truth, and life, and that there's no other way to the Father except through him. Why? Because he's addressing the real problem of man, and that's the fact that we were dead in need of life. And good news, folks, Jesus is alive, and through faith in him, he makes you alive.
Yeah.
That's the gospel.
That's the gospel. And friends, you can get your questions to us anytime, day or night, at 844-322-2742 or at bob@basicgospel.net. Basic Gospel, of course, friends, is listener-supported. And to say thanks for your support this month, we'll send you our CD series by Bob Christopher called The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. Messages that will instill hope and anchor your soul to the amazing love of Christ Jesus. It's our way of saying thank you for your love and support of this ministry. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or donate online at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for that excellent study through the book of Hebrews. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.